We'll do it live. Fuck it. Fucking thing sucks.
That's right.
It's working.
Fucking thing. Fucking thing sucks. It's working this time, Dan. One, you know, it took us a week to figure it out, but here we are, and we are ready to roll. So, welcome everybody to Exotica TV. Happy hour-ish. I'm your host, Jay. It's my co-host, beautiful boy, Dan. Hey, Danny boy.
My hetero life mate, Jay.
That's right.
Always this way. It's always to the left.
So mine's always to the right. See, it's perfect. So, perfect. Welcome everybody. We took a little week off last week. There was a small technical difficulty. I think I got like 10 years older within a period of like 35 minutes trying to get the thing to work. It didn't work. I drank myself in, drank away my woes and, figured we'd live to fight another day. So here we are, Dan. Here we are. Happy hours. And today is a very special day. Do you know why it's a very special day, Dan?
You lost your virginity?
Besides that.
It's National Tequila Day.
It is National Tequila Day. It's also National Thermal Engineering Day, National Amelia Earhart Day, National Drive-Thru Day, National Tequila Day, and National Cousins Day. So if you match any of those things, I think you end up drinking tequila. So cheers, everybody. Thank you to my mom for making me my first tequila drink of the day. Dan, you got like...
Those are things you don't hear. I made mine myself, and I have a backup, very classy, and Under Armour thermos.
I figured you for an affliction thermos. Yes. The voice.
Okay.
So what do you think, Dan? What do you think about that? We're 3 minutes in. I haven't hit your age yet, but I got your love for affliction in. So
if anybody wants, by the way, you'll see a little thing scrolling on the bottom that says to tip us for the first $10. I will let you know what Jay's real name is live on the air.
Oh, dude. It's really only worth $10 to you, Dan? $10.
That's it.
$10.
I know, because I want to say it. Because I figured nobody else is going to give us any more money than that.
What a dick. Yeah, I mean, we are our total is up to $55. We probably could get some, like, Pizza Hut with that. But, we're not. We're keeping it right in the account. We're just rolling it forward.
Wait, what number is this? Now I'm all fucked up because of the shit last week. So I don't remember what show number this is for us.
8 million.
8 million?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, our 8 million show, I'm very happy. Jay.
Dude.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Remember that.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
We will be testing you throughout this episode.
Okay. I got it.
Dude, there's some, like, woman with short gray hair that keeps walking by you.
Oh, that'd be my mom. This is what happens when we go on the road.
We are fucking classy.
Exotica TV, St. Johnsbury, Vermont, baby. Here we are.
We go from the Exotica, like the 50-inch flat screen in the background with cool little graphics on it, to a map of fucking the United States,
before,
the Corona capital of the world.
Before I think it was even all of the United States. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think, I don't see Alaska or Hawaii on there.
Never heard of those states.
Never.
So what do you say, Dan? What do you say? Let's do this.
How do you catch a unique rabbit?
Unique up on it.
Yes, very, very cute, Jay. Yeah, you're fucking adorable.
You're welcome.
Well, look, I don't even want to look at you anymore. So you could just make yourself small. There you go. We're going to bring in our guest because, you know what? She was like cool as fuck to actually put up with your unprofessional ass last week, screwing everything up with this fraud.
You know what? I don't want to hear it.
And because of me, because she likes me more than you, we agreed to come back on with her busy schedule. I mean, adult Hall of Famer, radio host, Sirius XM fantasy sports radio host. I mean, I think she's been on like Barstool Sports Radio a bunch of times and doing that. Author, dancer, one-time talent agent, director, entrepreneur, COVID survivor, Central Park cyclist, the one and only, the GOAT, greatest of all time, Ted, Lisa Ann. What's up, Lise?
Well, first and foremost, like to say, Jay, you know, you work so hard at putting together these events that I imagine logistically are a fucking nightmare with exoticas in different states and all the girls and everything else. And this production thing had really gotten the best of you last Friday evening.
It really, I mean, it did. It ate me alive.
I felt so bad that it was on my week, because I could tell you felt bad. And, you know, before we even start this interview, I want to thank you both for so many years of a successful working business relationship and friendship. I've enjoyed coming to Exoticas because it's your project. And, you know, things don't always go smooth in the business, and there's a lot of relationships that become broken. But over the years, you have both always treated me with so much respect. You've always worked with my program. I like to fly American, so I'm going to book this flight. You're going to reimburse me with the other girls. Like, we keep everything very fair, but you allow me to work in the best capability for myself. And for that, I just want to thank you both for doing that. So for all the good you've done, one little blip is kind of no big deal.
Well, two blips, because we did. I'm kidding.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's always fun to be able to kind of, you know, have somebody on this platform that we've, you know, done so much stuff with over the years. And it was exceptionally frustrating last week, because not only was, like, you know, the technology in pure meltdown, but seeing what you've done through your radio career now, and I mean, you're the pro at this. So I'm sitting back here like hammering things into my computer, and
you know what he's like, Dan? He's like the guy that watched too many of my scenes that somehow gets to hook up with me in his real life and fails miserably right off the bat, like pulls his dick out and comes. That's what Jay was like last
That's
week.
That's me. That was me. Yes, that description hits very close to home.
So you were a Exotica TV, a video live stream premature ejaculate.
I was.
Right? Yes.
Oh, listen.
And by the way, I am making this switch right now from coffee.
Actually, it wasn't premature ejaculation. You gave it never start.
You're giving me a second time. So this second time, hold on. Because here we go.
Hold on. It wasn't a premature ejaculation because you never even got it out of your pants, really.
It's true.
Well, then you couldn't get it up.
Well,
you're right.
Because you're like old.
Pushing rope up a hill. That's what I used to call it on set when the guy couldn't get hard. I would look at the director. I go, I feel like I'm pushing rope up a hill over here. Not easy, and a great analogy for a limp dick.
Oh boy,
I've never heard that one before.
Yeah. Rope up a hill,
Dan. One of my you're gonna have to start using
did
that.
You invent that one.
I did invent that one. There's another one I like to use when I was an agent, and the girls would call me from set complaining about something, and I'd say, you know, it's not called blow fun; it's called blow job for a reason. You know what I mean?
do you? I mean, because yeah, look, I mean, with the logistics, I mean, we all know we've been doing this, you know, far too long than any of us care to admit or planned on, probably. But I mean, it's just, I mean, what do you miss most, performing or, you know, the agent, the business side of it? The agent thing you couldn't have missed.
Okay, the agent thing didn't miss. Worst job I ever had. You realize that girls call you at 2:30 in the morning to get a check that they never picked up at the office. Like, they expect you to, like, right now, like, this is a crackhead who's going to go to a 24-hour check cashing store in Mesita, lose 18% of her check. She wants me to get out of bed. So it was constant that bail bondsman's calling me. I would always go into my QuickBooks first. If the girl owed me, like, over 2G, I'd say to the bail bondsman, she owes me 2G. Why am I going to bail her out of jail? If she was good at playing her thing, but what I miss the most is probably the road, and that road includes Exoticas, dancing, doing hosting appearances. I still get to live on that kind of fringe. I like the whole adventure of it. I like being Dora the Explorer, you know, in the hotel, and you're in a new city to get out a little bit. Everything from the airport, it's just made me always feel like I was going on field trips, you know, like I would do the work in LA, you know, like I'd do the scenes.
I'm picturing Lisa with a Dora the Explorer backpack right now, and it works.
And then I get to go to the airport, you know, and I'm like, yeah.
And then I'm picturing the field trip scene from Billy Madison when the one kid pees himself and everybody else pee themselves.
Lisa's the kind of person that she would pee her pants for somebody else. I can tell you that right now.
No, you are a team player.
Yeah.
You're always there. Like, you know, you'll be there like, all right, guys, let's just fucking get your shit together here. Take a deep breath.
Everybody pee your pants.
Take a hit of this weed. Pee your pants.
Just take a hit of this pen. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Well, it's not rocket science what we do, but it takes a lot of energy and a lot of emotion. I think getting older in the business and watching the business change so much. You know, when I got into the business and I did like ABN or different signings, we used to have that East Coast show in New Jersey, Atlantic City. That was a fun one. People were very different. So I think we were treated softer and kinder, so it wasn't as emotionally taxing. I look at the young girls now, and I think a lot of these guys, a lot of people that come to these events seem to feel that they're entitled to some sort of access, probably because they didn't pay for their porn, it's on their phone, they didn't have to sneak into an adult bookstore and get a VHS in a brown bag. Like, there's so much less put into it. So I think what the younger girls go through now makes it easier for team player, because I've watched all of it and I like to pull them together, because I know the real deal of it is, you know, pretty soon you're going to get to your room and get to wash your face and you're going to binge watch some Netflix and it's going to be just fine.
See, everybody thinks that, like, you know, it's just like, yeah, we, like, when we go in, when Jay and I go into a new city or a new hotel, you know, that wants us to, you know, use them as our host hotel, it's always like, yeah, we go through the same spiel. It's like we it's almost like a drinking game. You know, like, okay, is Jay going to say this or am I going to say that? But the one thing that one of the words that always comes up and it's time to take a shot is like Caligula, because everybody has this conception that the show is like Caligula. Everybody's running around the hotel after the show. It's like an all night party. Nobody goes to bed or everybody goes into other people's beds. And the truth is, you know, for us that are working the show, it's like, we just want to fucking go back and go to sleep. You know, fucking get something to eat because we're starving.
You've been walking around.
All we had is deep dish pizza with fucking pineapple and ham on it, or, you know, McDonald's cheeseburgers or White Castle if we're in Jersey. But, I mean, you know, we just want to go back. We want to chill. We want to get something to eat. You know, we'll, you know, take our shoes off or whatever and just go to sleep.
I want to go back to the thing that you said, Lisa, a little bit earlier about, like, the difference between stars back then and today and what they deal with. One of the, I agree with you. I think one of the things though that is much different about today is that the performers that are out there actively performing are running through OnlyFans. They're running through like this customized, you know, ability to directly connect to every user, right? Now, back in the day, back in the VHS days, you know, those, you purchased a VHS, you went home, you might have met the star and gotten an autograph at a signing at the East Coast Video Show or, you know, AVN or wherever you were. But now I think what happens is guys come in and they're vested into these singular stars, you know? So, like, listen, if you're a dude and you've, like, you know, spent $1,000 on webcam of your favorite performer or whatever, and you have the opportunity to go in and meet them, they come into our shows and they have a different frame. They have a different setting in their brain.
Oh yeah.
And they're thinking,
oh, yeah,
like,
dude, that's
this
our
girl
relationship,
yeah,
is out of the computer. Our relationship is live.
You know me, like, remember my kitten Durfus? Like, you know, it's like everybody know or thinks that they are your best friend. And I think that's where we noticed, honestly, like, you know, post-Trump, like, in the post-Trump world, guys have gotten way more, like, grab them by the pussy, man. Like, it's just, you know, they come walking in and they're like, hey, I know you, bruh, you know, and it's like, no, this isn't how this works.
You're bossy as fuck. Like, it's, yo, that was not, I tell them, that was not layaway on my vagina.
Yeah.
So you spent $1,000 yep. on cam shows.
Yep.
That was not layaway.
Yeah. And that's, but I think that guys, you know, like, listen, it's the same deal as back in the day, you'd go to the strip club. There would be that one girl. She really liked me. She was different. She was different than all the other girls. Her and I, we connected, you know, like, I'm going to go for a walk with her and her son in the park tomorrow. Like, I gave her $1,500, but, like, you know, it's just a digital, you know, it's a digital,
you know,
like, strip
one
club.
Of the things fans that you guys probably know about is there's a lot of businesses out there where the girls are, yes, shooting all of the content, but they have a company managing it for them. That same company is also answering direct messages.
Yeah.
And really where I try to educate and draw the line with the girl is you don't want someone else having an exchange with someone. And I got to witness it at a Exotica with one of the girls who I won't mention because nobody wants to know that somebody else is talking to them.
I know. Come on. Throw this person down the river.
Had a full-on conversation with a guy that was freaking out because they'd been talking online for months.
Star Vandella?
And I said, do you have someone running your OnlyFans? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, that's why this becomes risky. And also, we don't want to mislead the last bit of buyers that we have. Now, I just read an article in the Post that said Americans are spending $1 billion a month right now on porn. Okay, those are good numbers. That's good to know. And that shows you what this independent girl has done, because a lot more of it is on OnlyFans platforms. But we still have to want to create it for ourselves and not have somebody else do it, because you're misleading a guy to really form a false relationship with you.
Well, and especially now, like, you know, during these times, like, what the fuck is everybody doing, really? You know, obviously, look, you're keeping busy because you have other interests outside of adult. But... you know, like some of these girls, not that these, you know, some of the girls don't, but like, look, there's people that, you know, we say, hey, you want to come on our show? I mean, you know, here it is. You know, we're going to get you to, you know, dozens of, no, I'm kidding. But like thousands of people or tens of thousands of people or, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, depending on the show. And, you know, hey, plug whatever you want. Let's just hang out and fucking bullshit, you know? And, oh, no, I can't, you know, that means I got to put on makeup. I'm like, only put on makeup like once a week to shoot your own.
I actually felt the worst last week knowing that Lisa was like, I put on makeup for this shit. I was like, oh no.
I had a ton of cameos to shoot, and then I FaceTime with a bunch of my guys. So I was like, well, I look good. I should have some boys on FaceTime. Okay.
But you said something funny, like when we were not on the air last week, is that, you know, I'm like, oh, you got all dressed up for us or whatever, you know? And yeah, you know, you're like, I'm wearing fucking jeans this whole quarantine because I want to make sure I can fit in them when it's over.
Makeup and jeans at least 5 days a week. Like, my rule was, once this started, I was like, Friday, you're getting up like you exist in the real world.
Yep.
And by doing this, yes, I'm going to stay fit. I'm also going to keep wearing my clothes. I don't want to live in sweatpants and leggings. That's just for weekends. You know what I mean? And I also want to feel good about myself.
It makes the weekends feel less special.
Yes. And when you have makeup on, it doesn't have to be a lot of makeup, even if it's just light makeup, even if you're not going on camera, to just put on a little something. I've been wearing perfume every day because I just love smelling good, and it just excites me. And today
you
I
hear
realized,
that, Jay? She cares. She does care. You don't care
she
about
not
me.
No, listen. Dan.
You won't even shave for me.
No.
Well, this is a little bit different. But it does. It is important. And I found when I had the agency, it was very hard to get girls to do PR because they have social media. Remember, when I got in the business, you started as a contract girl with a company. This is what they told you. They're like, you have to do 3 to 4 bookstore signings a month, 1 or 2 feature bookings a month to get your name out there.
Right.
Like, we'll create the movies and we'll send them out, but no one's going to know who you are unless you do all of these different things. Like, we all had fan clubs by the mail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, post office. Right. You know?
No, you had to go on eBay to sell your shit. Yeah,
there was
eBay
back
yeah,
then.
No, it wasn't well, even you, that.
Yeah.
It was right.
No, but I'm saying going on the steps of it or whatever. I mean, what year did you get into the adult?
94 was when I shot my first hardcore scene. I had been shooting softcore stuff before that and dancing, and I got into dancing in 88.
You know, and it's like, and you know, the you know, not that it's weird. I mean, you were, you know, a big star in that, but you really hit your, like, you know, your mark, man, was like, you know, and it was probably yeah, the whole MILF thing or whatever,
but,
like, fuck yeah,
but,
American Pie.
But stop for a second. There was the ebb, like, Lisa's career has been amazing because it's gone from, like, contract star VHS,
like,
hit,
like,
to then working in the business, and we knew you through, you know, the talent agency side and whatever, and then all of a sudden, Sarah Palin came out. And
thank heavens for
was
Sarah
it
Palin.
Was it just like a gift from God? Like, did the skies open up and Sarah Palin came out from her house in Alaska and welcomed you onto her tour bus? Like, I mean, because that
you know, okay. So let me tell you how exciting this was. I just, in a sidebar, during quarantine, one of the projects I did was I locked myself in my master bedroom closet and I perfectly recorded my audiobook of my first book, The Life.
Okay.
And when I say perfectly, that means I hated my voice for the first 3 or 4 records with edits and then decided to do it all over again, chapter by chapter. It was torture. But really, the Sarah Palin chapter was not easiest to do. But it was the most fun to read because I released that in 2015. So think about not really engulfing in that mindset that deeply since really then. You know, I've thought about Palin. I visited Wasala, Alaska, gave her a shout out at the sign that said, welcome to Wasala. Like, I've done it. But it was such a game changer because I was on set when Drew from Hustler called me and had this idea, wanted to do this Palin movie. You know, we're going to call Palin Palin. I'm like, that's great, you know. But a week before that, Nina Hartley had called me at the office. She said, you got to do a Palin thing. You got the glasses, you got the bangs, you look like her. I see you at your desk with your hair back. Like, you have to do it. And I'm like, well, Nina, I don't know how I feel about politics. I don't know if I want to do this, do this and that. The day Drew called me on set was the night of the VP debate. And it was Sarah Palin coming out in that shiny, satiny suit, her lashes, her everything. And that was it.
She was a Republican boner, man. When she walked out, it was like, oh, God, give her a machine gun.
And, you know, it just took off so fast because I don't know if you know this, but after they called me, somebody from Hustler leaked the story. And I was flying to a trade show, IVD. And Drew called and said, hey, we got to shoot it right away before someone else does it. And
then the race
is on.
I'm
like, well, I'm going. So while I was away, I was ordering suits that I got back in L.A. And I had 2 days to, like, alter all those suits myself because I didn't trust taking them to get them altered. I mean, I was going to use regular suits. I had to make the shorts nice and skirt short, and I had to tuck in the things. But think about all the things that came out of that. First of all, Eminem. Like, Eminem's music director, Joseph Kahn, calls my office and says, oh, you know, Eminem wants Lisa Ann, his next music. I thought it was a prank phone call.
Of course.
I was like, nah, Eminem's not reaching out to me.
Did he say, I'm the Shady, I'm the real Slim Shady?
Oh, my God.
Please pick up.
And I can remember when I went to my first dance booking after that, and a great story rereading this in the book was, I was so oblivious because we had shot the movie, and then I was going on a dance booking that same weekend. So the movie wasn't out yet. So I kind of think like nobody knows, but I'm forgetting that this has made news headlines for
everywhere.
A whole week.
And not just adult news, like world news. Yeah.
Weekend update.
I called and said, yeah, my dad and I were watching CNN. We saw you on the news. I'm like, isn't that awesome? Like, I get to the booking and I didn't bring any suits. And the club owner scolded me so fucking hardcore. He was like, you can't go out dressed like that. You don't have any suits. And I'm like, didn't even cross my mind. I have all these like costumes. Right. I was going to be a cop. He's like, well, can you do anything with your face? I was supposed to do two shows.
Can you do anything with your face?
Just like your second show, and tomorrow morning we're taking you to the mall and you're buying suits. And that's what you're wearing for the next three shows. We'll make up your other show. And I was like.
Which rightfully so.
That just started to really hit me like, oh, this is bigger than me. I had never done anything that was bigger than me. They didn't care about Lisa Ann. They cared about who's Nailin Palin and me playing Sarah Palin. So it was a wild ride. And it opened up so many cool trips. I mean, I went to Finland for a week-long appearance. And when I landed at the airport, the Sexpo there had me on buses as Sarah Palin. I'm like seeing these buses at the airport. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in Helsinki, Finland, and people know who I am. I'm like, they really don't know who you are. You're the girl that does the Sarah Palin. So it was an interesting, but, man, first dance booking was so packed. I was like, this is going to be money in the bank.
Did you ever get, like... I mean, because listen, I mean, the same deal with, you know, Stormy, like, you know, being Stormy, like being in the kind of like light like that. Were you ever uncomfortable? Was there ever a time where you're like, I don't feel good about this? Or like, I'm in a spot where I feel like somebody's watching me or something's going on or, you know, or something
you know,
like that.
Before I took the gig, I actually thought of that. And I reached out to friends who were like, yeah, man, if there's a dark vehicle out front of your place, don't pull out because they're probably going to take you and donate your organ.
Well, as long as you don't live in Portland, I think you're okay. Maybe Chicago, too.
Well, you know, New York City's not much better right now. We're killing each other out there trying to beat Chicago's records. You know, I didn't feel it, and I also am not in the same spot as Stormy. Stormy has a little one to be responsible for. Right. I just have myself. Right. You guys know me well enough that you know if it's going to come down to me or somebody else, that person's going to be bodies, going to be shredded by my bare hands.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so that's
true.
Right.
You know what? One of the
Wolverine.
One of the things I love about Lisa is she knows she's been through so many different situations in adult and dealing with crazy Twitter mobs and the shit that goes on. And like we're always like really removed from that stuff. Like, you know, listen, we're a trade show production company. So like, sure. You know, four times a year we're in the middle of the adult business. But other than that, we're, you know, selling booths. And so. Right. For the first time ever, I got on the wrong end of a Twitter mob, and Lisa sent me a personal email and was just, it was the sweetest, like nicest thing that I could have ever gotten at that moment. Because honestly, like,
he was an idiot,
dude, when the world is against you, it gets crazy. And people don't realize, like, you know, listen, if there's a person that has, you know, a star that has 150,000 Twitter followers, if they said you could walk on water, those Twitter followers agree. Like, they, you know, it's one of those
feverish masturbators. Just yeah, it's not always Twitter followers. They are feverish masturbators.
And so, like,
yes, they will do as told.
It doesn't matter what is said. It doesn't matter. But it just matters who it's said by. And by the way, that kind of sounds very familiar when you go all the way up to the presidency at this point. But, like, right. it's wild to see mobs turn like that. And I, one time in my life, was on the wrong end of it. And Lisa sent this email. It literally was the nicest, like, made me feel so much better in the situation. Because, you know, you've done it. And it's a wild ride. You kind of have to just, like, you know, remove yourself from it.
It brings a lot of anxiety. You don't want to look at your phone. You don't want to look at anything. But since I went through a horrible situation, 2014, 2015, what are the roles in my life? When I see somebody going through something, I don't reach out publicly, but I will make a point to reach out. Because, you know, let's take a girl that was the sweet girl, August Ames, you know, who just got pushed and got pushed and got pushed. I just want to be sure everybody's okay. So I think reaching out and saying, I just want to touch base and be sure you're okay. And you know, this and that, it really helps me know that what I learned is valuable.
Yep.
And when I see somebody going through it, I want to send my love.
Well, and somebody, you know, with your name and your history and in the business, and, like, again, like, it means a lot, you know. And so thank you for me, you know, back when it happened. But, you know, I applaud it, because, you know, the online world is a crazy place, and, like, some people get really spun into that stuff. And so to have somebody of your stature be able to come in and say something like that and kind of, like, make people's world better at the moment, definitely, you know,
it's dark.
Yeah, for sure.
It's dark. I'm glad. I appreciate you bringing that up, but it's important. And it's important that people that have gone through it are able to, because I remember how dark and how heavy it was. And what's interesting is, right now, I think some people have too much free time and they're not applying themselves, which is something that I hated, because when I was a kid, my teachers would tell my parents,
right,
Lisa talks too much. She would do better in school if she applied herself. Well, fuck all of you, because I get paid to talk now, yeah, right? And I apply myself. But when quarantine first happened, there were all these things, like Babbel was running free unlimited language classes, Masterclass was offering free unlimited classes, and I started signing up for everything so I could fill my time. And so I wouldn't be kind of sucked into the cesspool of social media. And don't you guys realize that even now it's even worse? It's like, it's constant. Every time you turn it on, people are just trying to get someone else canceled or fighting with someone. People bandwagon so hard without saying, let's look at the body of work. You know, Drew Brees is an example, because, yes, he made an error that offended people, and there was definitely, they came after him very quick. But if you just take that one moment in time and you look at the fact that he had given $15 million after Katrina, you know, $5 million right away when COVID happened, then another 10 million, him and his family have been so generous to their community. It's sad, just like you guys have been so good to us as talent, production companies that want to set up, and fans to come to Exoticas and providing security and making sure everything's good. Why don't people stop and look at the body of work anymore before they're just like, yeah, you know what? That one thing is enough to make me hate this person, bandwagon against them, and get all of my people to do the same.
It's just even petty shit. Like, look, our Instagram account has been gone, well, twice. It was gone in June. We got it back, and then it went again.
This is the weekly part where Dan plugs anybody to get our Instagram page back.
You got a problem with that, Jay?
No,
get our Instagram page back. Anybody out there, we will pay you cash money.
Dan has very soft hands.
Anyway, so, but people just do it. They just, I'm going to report this image. I got something against them. Or there's nothing wrong with the image. It's, you know, it's somebody, but hey, Instagram doesn't care. Fucking, they just, like,
you know, just sit there and report your count 10,000 times. That's how much loserish people are.
And we know the people that are victims of,
because
it, so,
for the first time in history, you're able as a country and as a world to have a conversation in a public space. Like, you know, social media is a crazy thing. So you think about it, like, you know, the problem is that, like, if you say the wrong thing as a celebrity, like, you should probably, you know, before you talk or use your platform, make sure that you know what you're talking about. But what ends up happening is, you know, you say one thing and there's 1% of the population of the United States is just laser focused on that, and they come at you. And then the next group is the other million people in the country that are laser focused on a different group, and they come at you. And so never in the history of the world have we been able to, you know, be connected the way we are, and it fucks shit up. Like, it, you know, it really, like, it makes it almost impossible to have that public persona.
Do you?
Because you'll fuck something up, like, guaranteed. No, like, it's, you know, somebody's, you're gonna, if everything you say is recorded, you're gonna say something stupid before the end of time. Like, that's just how it works. I do it weekly.
Especially when we're drinking. Two things, by the way, Lisa. We can smoke and he can't because he's in a room full of other people. So cheers to you.
I'm actually doing this in front of a live studio audience. I have
fantastic.
I have my parents sitting over here in the corner looking at me judgingly. Actually, they're not paying attention at all. And
so what's the second thing, Dan?
The second thing is that you've gone on and, you know, just, you know, when you wrote your book, like, how cathartic was it for you, like, to, you know, go back and, like, you know, okay, I'm going to go think, like, I'm trying to think, like, you know, I try and think how I got into something and started doing something. And, you know, it's just, you know, like, when you think about it, like, you know, look, just the amount of time I've known you, it's like crazy. And the things you were there, and like Jay had that story, like, yeah, we've been friends. Like, we were friends when you started, when you stopped, when you, you know, started again, agent, not agent, back to performing. You know, you were there. And like, I remember when I, you know, got divorced and, I mean, it was like, you know, you would call up just every once in a while, like, hey, you all right? You cool? All right, cool. Just check it up on you kind of shit. It'll all work out. Don't worry about it. And, same. You know, so for that, thank you very much. But when you were writing...
You should get divorced again, Dan. Yeah, it was so sweet. We should do it again.
When I was writing, you know, I think I actually...
If I get married again, I will never get divorced.
Seriously. Thank you.
I'm going to the grave with it.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to getting married again, but I am opposed to getting divorced. The breakup's so scarring. The fucking moving shit, dividing stuff and money and ugh. Okay, but cathartic. I think it was even more cathartic to record the audiobook of the life because I've learned how much I've changed in those 5 years. And also, I was more proud of myself than ever for taking all the chances that I took. Like, I bought a one-way ticket to get picked up at the airport to live with a dude that I'd never met before that was recommended to me by like 6 porno girls that came into Outside.
You're on 90 Day Fiancé?
I was going to say, Lisa, have you ever thought about being on 90 Day Fiancé?
I just got hooked on that
please
shit.
Tell me.
Kathy's like, oh, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. And Jay,
first of all,
you got to watch this.
I'm
like, Caesar, never. It's my favorite. Poor Caesar. He still hasn't met Maria. But anyway, back to this. So Lena, Christy Canyon, all these girls. There were guys that, like Lucky Smith, there were guys that weren't really agents, kind of they get a girl and they kind of introduce her to some people and they got money for bringing us in, whatever. But like, I was too young to even understand that. But I was lucky, man. I met a guy that wasn't creepy and that took great care of me. Peter Davey lived in his awesome house in Tarzana, that bitch ass backyard. I had French doors for my bedrooms, other rose gardens out there. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? But I don't think at this age or at this point of awareness, I would fly on a one-way ticket with no money to go live with some dude in the valley.
But you would if you were 22.
Hold on. Let's check your awareness. Start at person.
Oh. Person, woman, man, television, camera.
Nope. You don't get the extra
person,
points.
Person, woman, person, man, woman, man, TV, camera.
Camera, TV.
Yeah,
camera, TV.
I was wrong. I had a glass
camera,
of
TV.
Oh, I have Alzheimer's.
Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
And especially being in quarantine, guys. Like, I'm looking back through my phone and through old photos, and I'm like, you know what? There were times where I was so busy I couldn't even have time to unpack suitcases and I had to buy clean socks at, like, TJ Maxx. But now I have all this free time to actually sit back and think, like, I am so glad I took all these crazy chances and everything I did because sitting still isn't that big of a deal to me because I don't have regret.
And you've like basically like you just keep reinventing yourself, I guess. I don't know if that's the right term, but and going in, you're a huge sports fan and we're going to talk sports. So you've been doing a show on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports, right?
Fantasy Sports Freedom 2013.
This is
guys.
Why she's more professional than us, Dan.
Woman.
I know. Look at her mic. I got mic envy.
I know. I do. I feel so small. I mean, it's kind of like it's, yeah, it's
that's just, what he said. I know. Go ahead.
And so you've been doing that, and you know now you're a spokesperson for Bovada Sports.
Love those watches.
Watches,
it's sports betting, and it's and I get to make picks, and I went to the Super Bowl this year.
This is what we're running over these like different points and stuff before the show, and Dan says, you know, we're running through them and says Bovada, and I'm like, oh, like the she's
it's Bovada.
She's sponsored Bovada. By the watch company.
That would be great. You yeah. Those watches as well. Those work as well.
I have one. I never wear it. Sucks.
I'm very lucky. One of the things when I meet new girls, I say, have an outside of the business and take your time while you're in the business to really figure out where that can take you. Because let's face it, like you can't stay in the business forever. And it's not as easy for girls to save enough money to live off of forever. So you're going to have a second act of some sort. And I love being on the radio. I love the fact that my gig is to listen to 8 hours of sports news a day and carry a notebook around with me everywhere I go and write notes and like look up stories. Like I am living right now in the NBA bubble. It is bringing me so much joy.
How did it happen?
See these players.
How did like where was the transition point of like as you got into radio? What was your what was the lead into it?
I lucked out. I was doing Spice Radio. Then it was like Playboy Radio. Yep. Then like Manhood bought it.
Yep.
And I was and Farrell is who introduced me to my now boss Matt Deutsch. So what I was doing that show was a Monday night show called Stripper Town. And it was an awesome show which I would love to bring back somewhere because guys would call in and just tell like strip club horror stories. Like the guy that was getting a lap dance from the drunk girl and she threw up on him, like stuff like that.
If only we knew a TV platform that could do something like that.
And it was endless because it was Monday night. So every weekend there'd be tons of guys that would go out. But it was also during Monday night football. And my fans that knew the one way to really talk to me was to talk sports would call in and talk about the game. And Farrell kept telling me, like, you know, you got to be talking more sex talk and this and that. And then right as the career is about to end, like I'm going to get canned from doing adult radio station. Farrell's like, you know, there was a fantasy football show on Fantasy Sports Radio with a bunch of Playboy playmates. It just broke up, and I know Matt Deutsch wants to fill that space with another female voice. You should go to New York. I, like, booked a flight the next week to New York, got an apartment in New York so that I could be close by. I remember there was a time where I went back and forth New York to L.A. and got to know my bosses very well. I wanted them to see me in person and have that confidence that I know when you do adult films for a living, you often have to prove yourself for a little bit longer. It's okay. Because not everybody's opinion is going to be right away, I'm Team Lisa Ann, I think she's normal. We're kind of in this little category, and you got to get out of that category. Right. And you can do it. You just got to be consistent.
Right.
You got to be reliable. You got to work hard.
Consistency is key.
It's key in everything. So that transition happened in 2013. And for a long time, I'd be on the road feature dancing because this was during Palin was still popping in 2013. Yep. I'd get from my feature booking to New York on a Sunday, do my show Monday night, fly on the 6 a.m. flight Tuesday, and be on set Tuesday afternoon shooting movies. So, like, that was a crazy time in my schedule that I look back to when I'm bored in quarantine and go, that's cool.
Yeah.
You've flown. So that's how it transitioned.
Just to prove that we're live, Prosperfine wants you to run for president, so that's your next job.
By the way, I have to mention,
there's enough money in it. Do you guys think there's enough money?
$400 grand a year?
Yeah, because what?
No,
but that's
I can do that on OnlyFans, bro.
Yeah.
I know the numbers are. Don't even get me fucking started like, on that.
By the way,
but it's when you're done or whatever on the speaking tours or whatever. That's where you make the money on the presidency.
Right. If you live, not all presidents survive the president. It's so turbulent, you know.
By the way, you have a fan.
And
Lisa.
By the way, speaking of presidents, you got to get Portnoy from Barstool on here for this.
I gotta say the interview.
You gotta get Prez on.
Enjoyed. Did you watch his interviews with Donald Trump from yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Gotta watch. I was at the White House yesterday. He interviewed Donald Trump, and it was just fun. You know, we have to be open-minded about media. And I see some backlash going on with Barstool right now where some people feel they're getting into politics and they shouldn't. But I don't think anybody understands what it's like to be in the shoes of somebody that the president calls himself, because Trump's people reached out to Dave Portnoy. They reach out to you and ask you if you want to do an interview.
You say,
are you going to say no? He had fun with it. He talked about Goodell turning him down for the one-on-one watch of the Monday night game. He had his dad on FaceTime as the interview ends. It was humanizing, and it was also, you know, big risks are big rewards, but they're big risks. And Dave probably took a big risk knowing that some people would kind of.
And there comes that cancel culture. Yeah.
There comes the cancel culture, but you have to be open-minded to it and say, like, if you were in, this is the thing with cancel culture. They don't ever stop and say to themselves, if I was in that person's shoes, what would I do? Because they can't get in the fucking mindset of it.
Right. So, Jay, you get a call from the president's press secretary tomorrow. Wants to be on this show. Trump wants to be on the show next week.
Absolutely.
Of course you would.
You would say yes?
Absolutely. 100,000%.
And if he goes into his campaign and stuff, you got no
problem. No. The best I'd play fart noises over his big, ugly, fat, fucking nasty face. And if he wanted to hang up, he could hang up. And if he didn't hang up, then it would be everywhere. And so I'd be fine with that. Like, but that's just me personally. So.
Of it, and I can look at the actual opportunity of it. Groundbreaking. It's groundbreaking like when Howard Stern was looking for Sirius. I mean, if you go back ever and watch Private Parts, which to me is still one of my favorite movies.
For sure.
Like, you go back and watch that. You remember how different radio was back then?
Well,
I mean, I can remember just moving from Pennsylvania to L.A. and hearing different music that I never heard because they controlled it on the radio in L.A.
So much of that stuff, though, is it's crazy to me because they make millions and millions of dollars to do the thing that they do until they can't do what they do, you know? And so that was the Howard Stern thing, you know, getting kicked off of, you know, the FDC issues and or FCC, FDC, FCC,
FCC
issues were like, you know, ridiculous, but that's why the guy makes a bazillion dollars, you know? It's right. Like, it's okay, you go until you get kicked off. Opie and Anthony did the same thing, you know? It's
yep.
But Opie and Anthony tried to do it, and you know what, they weren't big enough to fucking, you know, to have the sack or whatever to keep them through it. And that's the thing that's weird. So I mean, Lise, with you, so I mean, doing, you know, the radio and sports, I mean, you know, everybody who knows you, I mean, we talk sports all the time. We talk about my kids and you know,
and what are you guys doing with the Fantasy Football League this year? Because I know your loser has been an absolute.
I don't want to fucking hear about it. I this is.
Jay's got a tattoo.
Jay's
got a tattoo. He won't show it, but I mean, on the air, he'll take a picture of it at some point and put it on there. So we have the Exotica Fantasy Football League, and every year we do it. We didn't do it this year. This past year,
I understand. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't do it this past year. I don't even know why. I just think, you know, people just didn't want to do it. Like, people that were
the hard part is people willing to commit to a tattoo.
Right. So the winner gets you.
That's why I wouldn't be in your league. Yeah, I'm not willing to commit to a tattoo. Exactly. I went through 6 months of getting one removed.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit, man.
Trust me. I'm looking at spending more money on getting my mine removed than it was to put it on. So.
Oh, and so, it's painful.
Yeah.
So
well, winner gets the money, which wasn't much. It was a few hundred bucks. But, you know, the loser had to get a tattoo, and the tattoo had to have a foot, three X's on it, incorporated somehow into it as the laces, and that was the one thing, the one rule.
Three X's.
And the group had to approve it, everything. The group had to approve the tattoo.
Nah.
So the first year we did it, Tita, or Sorcia, she lost, so she got, but she has so many.
She's a tattoo chick.
Like she has watermelon slices on her hands. I mean. Yeah, so she gets this like cool thing of a fucking like old school dagger going through a deflated football.
It was cool.
You know, and all this. It was cool, right? The next year, Jay loses. And I was fine. I know enough about fantasy sports. I'm never gonna lose.
I don't know shit.
I win all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, he doesn't know shit. And like you see, like, oh, I'm gonna start, you know, whatever, whoever the fuck it was.
I'm gonna start Cole Beasley over Michael.
Yeah, listen,
it was, my wife was,
one. I don't even recognize either of those names, so yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait. Who's this Tariq Hill guy? Why are you taking him?
He's Lamar Jackson this week because of weather.
And it was the worst league, too, by the way, because, you know, Adrian, our old sales manager, set it up. And he, you know, it was like two quarterbacks. It was like just like a bullshit league. Crazy scoring.
You probably had no kicker, right? Since you had two quarterbacks.
No kickers. I mean, it was just crazy. So anyway, so Jay loses his second year, gets like this Calvin and was it Calvin or Hobbs? I forgot which
both. One. No, Calvin. Calvin tattoo.
It's on his back.
Of like,
and we're doing our show in Chicago. Yeah. Two section at the show in Chicago, and Jay disappears for a while.
I can't pussy out of it. I want to, but like, you
and
know
his
what?
Wife was, we thought his wife was so mad about the tattoo. She was pissed off about something else or whatever at that show.
But, no, she was drunk. Like, oh. My mom got her drunk in Chicago, and then she came back
your
drunk, and she tore into me and like freaked the fuck out. Like literally, it lasted till the day after, and like, and then I couldn't figure out why my wife was so mad at me. I'm like, listen, I get it, but like, whatever. Like, it's not, you know, it's not the end of the world. And then all of a sudden, like, it comes out the next day that, oh yeah, that's right, Jay's mom got your wife drunk before she came
Grace
to the show.
Jay so loves the worst.
Grace was hammered, and she comes in and she hits the fucking roof and then passes out drunk. And so I think that she's just like going to sleep mad at me. Yeah. Instead, she's just literally just passed out drunk. And so
that is hilarious.
My mom has a long history in Chicago of doing this. They're in the studio audience today. So they're looking at me like, you know, that's not true, but it's 100% true.
We've done 40 something shows of Exotica. I've missed one, the very first one. His mom's missed none of them.
Zero.
She's just there.
Oh my God.
She has the biggest case of FOMO for fucking creating.
We've done like 42 Exoticas. There are three people that have been to every one.
In the world than Exotica and strip clubs.
But you look, you know my girlfriend, you know, Kathy. I mean, you know, you guys have met a bunch of times. Yeah, no, she's awesome with this shit. But she came to Jersey one year. Who stopped over at the hotel before she came to the show. Jay's mom, Diane.
And Jay's mom.
And Jay's wife, Grace. And Jay's aunt, her mom's sister. Which the whole family's just degenerates on both sides. So Jay.
Happy tequila Jay's day.
And so now she comes over and I'm like, where are you? She's like, I'm at the bar at the hotel. I'm like, what are you doing at the bar at the hotel? Like, two drinks, she's done usually. And now she shows up, man, and I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, it was
the
just
new
like.
Situation. She's intoxicated. There's a lot of noise. Like,
no, but I'm stuck at the show. Like, I can't even enjoy, you know, her being intoxicated because I'm at the show. And it's like one of those things, like you said, like, why aren't you drinking tequila? Well, tequila makes me, you know, angry.
It makes me violent. And I will tell you the very last tequila story I have. It's a pretty epic one. It was in my Vegas heyday when I was going to Vegas the time. And I had a bunch of friends. We were upstairs at the Foundation Room at the Mandalay Bay. And I know this. I know recalling that I had a guy pinned down on the couch and I was chokeholding him. That's all I recall. I wake up with a wicked hangover. I check my phone. First thing you do when you have a wicked hangover. First of all, did you bring your phone home? Do you have your ID? Do you have your credit cards? Like, it's the first thing you do. Do all of that. And then I check my phone, and my friends not only allowed this, but they took tons of photos of me. I guess I touched my butt on the dance floor, and I wanted to pummel him. So at that point, I knew I had tequila. And I had told my friends before, like, tequila makes me violent. Don't give it to me. So we had a big group meeting in my suite, and I sat everyone down. And I said, if you offer me tequila ever again, I know that you are not my friend. Because an adult woman... Do I want photos of me circulating the internet?
By the way, listen, you're like, lucky Jesse Jane would have gotten arrested.
You guys have seen me drink too much and be violent.
No, but not like, I mean,
no,
but
like, I'm saying,
you know,
that, like, that sounds Jesse like a Jesse Jane, Jane Vegas story.
You didn't end up on TMZ. Yeah. You know, Jesse Jane.
Yeah.
China. You
not
know, they're
out in the middle of the street. No, I would at least be beating somebody up. Oh, I would be coherent.
By the way,
I'd be a functional.
I also assume that if Lisa got that drunk, she could literally knock a building over. Like, I think she could. Yep. It could get crazy.
And I have not had another sip of tequila, and my friends now.
Which
are
means you have good friends.
Tequila shots. They'll be like, no, she can't have it. She's allergic.
Which means you have good friends. You surround yourself with good people.
I'm not going to flip you. And how do you know you're not going to be able to drag me off you when you're gasping for that last breath? Kind of calmed them down. So no tequila, guys.
Hey, Jay, I don't know if this guy was talking about you, by the way. He says one of these arrogant pseudo-intellectuals talking absolute garbage like their opinion counts. It's got to be about
you. It's definitely him.
No, it's not you.
Live chat. Oh, comments are just like, we could sit here.
One of these, by the way, so when we started doing these shows, like, we always wanted to do live shows, and then we're thinking like, all the comments that we get are like, you know, fun to use and fodder, whatever. No, they're dumpster fires. Mostly, you know,
I do Instagram live. Some of my friends that are really into betting, and I'm like, okay, under over 50, how many, 50 times someone's going to ask to see my feet. I mean, these guys will just hit me the whole Instagram. I'm like telling a great story. I got all this going on. And they're like, let me see your feet, feet,
why feet, is, toes, why is it's feet. Feet and people will pay for feet. Did you know,
nobody's paying for my feet.
Did you know that my best understanding of there's an adult business out there that their model is that you can buy downloadable clips. You can guess which one it was. It was started off of literally like 10 grand and people's willingness to buy feet videos. And what they did was they basically built the first infrastructure where you could set a dollar value on a download and be able to download these clips or whatever. And it was all foot dudes. People love feet. Like, my wife has nice feet. I like them, but I'm not a foot guy. So like, I don't understand like the straight drive for people's feet.
At the sex stores now, you can buy these like really lifelike legs.
No way.
Legs from the knees down. So it's so
Nuh-uh.
Like, I always want to buy this stuff and just like prop it in my house in a bathroom.
Like a fleshlight, but feet?
It's always way too expensive. So it's got real weight, feels like real legs, and it's feet.
Jay got a boner.
And they're bound together so guys can do foot jobs.
Like, totally hard.
Like, could you imagine like you're a girl, you're looking for you're on a date. You go to the guy's apartment. You're looking for the bathroom. You open the wrong door. And inside the closet is just decapitated at the knees, feet, so the guy can jerk off. I understand that the feet thing is a big business. So what I'm doing is I'm taking good care
Lisa,
of my feet.
Do you have nice feet?
I feel I want to save them for later in case I'm down and out ever. Then we do the big reveal, and I just start showing my feet all the
time. Some girls talk about doing anal. Lisa's going to show her toes.
Did you do one of those foot peel things during quarantine?
I did not, but I've heard all about them.
Jay did.
Bad. I hear it's called baby feet or something.
I did it.
Right?
I had baby feet. Yep.
I think of that scene in Deadpool when his legs get blown off or he gets torn in half and he's growing the new legs.
It was less impressive than the like nasty ass photos that you see of people's like feet coming off all in like one piece.
Your feet might not have been that bad then.
I mean, dude, I have guys' feet. Like, they're gross. I mean, for the most part, like, they're not horrible, Dan, you strike me as the kind of guy that would have very dainty feet.
Kathy and I went for a couple's pedicure the other day.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The lady looked in horror as she was looking at my feet because they were like talons. Jade is joked.
They were just like this.
Oh, my
God.
No,
they weren't that bad or whatever. But, I mean, you know.
They totally were.
I mean, I got some fucking.
Nothing gross fucking on feet. Set. Than working with a girl who doesn't have good feet. I'm gonna.
What about dudes with feet? Like, what? I mean, do you ever look at a guy's feet and you go, "Oh, dude."
I'm trying to judge. Like, I know most athletes have bad feet.
Right.
Really work with your feet. So as long as they keep their socks.
Oh,
on,
dude, they showed that video of Antonio Brown's feet that time on whatever, God. And
what
they're just like they're like sideways
don't
and they're
put no cryo chamber without putting the rubber clogs on. I go to cryotherapy 5 days a week. I've never burned my feet, you fucking moron. By the way,
let's jump around. Where do you think the way this year?
He is retired and unretired more than me. Okay, so here's the thing. The other day when he retired, it was very interesting because it was the same day he was supposed to go to court for a final litigation for the girl from Pittsburgh who had been putting off going to court in Florida over the COVID cases. Antonio Brown doesn't want to go because he knows that she wants a settlement. He still has to go through that court case before he can even sit with the NFL. He also has 1,000 hours community service in Florida for the incident with the moving truck that he just took the deal on, which was smart because if he didn't, he still has the case pending. I don't think he goes anywhere, and I'm going to say this. I have a hard time even considering forgiving him over the fact that there was the one Instagram live where he was like screaming at his child's mother and the cops were there and she wanted to take him to school and the cops ended up taking his kids to school. That is unforgivable bullshit. I grew up in a family that was divorced and my parents said the most nasty things to each other in front of us as children. That's level. But level two, you send your black children in the back of a police car to their school. It's just something that you don't want to recognize. And why would you do that as a wealthy man? So I believe that his energy in a locker room can be a lot of turmoil because he's got to be on Team Antonio Brown. And as we watch, everybody's got last year on Hard Knocks with the fucking helmet incident that he stole from Pittsburgh. Won all the news. Like, what? You're stealing helmets now, AB? Like, what the fuck? I forget none of this.
It was crazy. And then, all right, so as we'll talk about the NFL, because, I mean, you think a season happens this year?
So I think the season has happened, but it's going to be very different. NBA is showing us a great example, but only because they're in a bubble. I think we need to get through this next week of MLB to see how many positive tests affect other teammates, because we're already seeing it happening. It's very different when they're going out of a bubble to home to interact with someone, whether it's at a store, whether it's at home, that could be potentially a carrier.
Unquarantined to quarantined.
Yeah, unquarantined to quarantine. It just doesn't work. But what we know from the adult business is if you continuously test, you not only have a better chance of minimizing the spread, but you are able to do contact tracing and you are able to actually pull out those who have interacted. We learned that when we went from testing once a month to every other week to when I would work with guys, I would pay for their test the day before because it was a 24-hour test. So we know about testing, 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 and how it works. What we've seen in the PGA is interesting because there have been cases where the golfers themselves did not test positive, but their caddies the day before had. And with the responsibility level that they've taken was just, hey, let me remove myself from the tournament because I did come in contact with somebody that had contracted COVID. UFC blows my mind. If the Fight Island is just a magical, mythical place, two places I want to go on vacation, the NBA bubble and Fight Island. If these guys can sweat and bleed all over each other, share an octagon, and by the main event, which, by the way, we're watching at 10, 11 o'clock at night, it's 3 in the morning there. What we're seeing with that and the minimal spread that they're having in the UFC gives me a lot of confidence that once we continuously
But are they fully quarantined? Are they staying by themselves away from people?
So they are quarantined to Fight Island, yeah.
So that's... Well, I mean, who knows what Fight Island really is. It could be a soundstage in L.A.
No. Fight Island is an island off of Abu Dhabi. It is fucking real. I've watched all the drone footage. I watched it get built. I watched the time lapse.
Wait, so you have now gone balls deep in this.
God, I can't stop.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
No, I know,
Jay said, when we start talking sports, he's just shut up.
Go to Bovada page on Saturday nights. I do a live stream from there in. And watch the fights live as I'm on my computer learning about different trainers, different techniques, different, I mean, the names that you have to try to learn to pronounce if you want to cover UFC is so much more intense than NFL or even MLB. I'm in.
Let me ask you this. Joe Rogan, yay or nay?
I'm neutral.
Okay.
You know, there's things of his I really enjoy. You know, he's an advocate of a lot of the same things I am, like cryotherapy, B12 shots, and healthy living. But then kind of pulls over one way or another, I'm curious about. But I've never disliked him enough to not watch. But I will say this. When Michael Bisping, he just left this week. I don't know when he's coming back to Fight Island. He was the absolute broadcaster that I needed to fall into for my first marathon experience watching UFC. I love hearing a broadcaster that can explain to you what's going on because they've done it. And they can talk about these different techniques and what's actually happening. Kind of Romo, NFL games. I love it because he knows what's happening. So I'm going to miss Bisping. I know that. I'm already dealing with this tomorrow night. I don't know who's going to be broadcasting. I don't think it's going to be Rogan because I don't think he's going into the UFC bubble on Fight Island. But, you know, I know he's controversial, but whatever he's doing, Joe Rogan, he's doing it, right?
Yeah, he's doing it. No, it's working. Yeah.
Spotify. So who am I to say he's wrong?
Yeah.
100 billion.
Amen, sister.
And, he's right.
So, what did you think? Did you watch the Yankees game last night with the Nats?
Of course I did. The rain delayed, like the lightning.
Well, first off, did you watch the pregame with the most uncomfortable pairing in the world of Mariano Rivera and Trump playing catch?
Yeah, and also Anthony Fauci, which is like Fauci 50 Cent, that first pitch. I was like, man, you were an athlete at one time in your life.
He's like 80-something years old, isn't he, Fauci?
137.
Huge basketball. He's a huge baseball fan, so he wanted this to happen. But that first pitch is, you know, I would never, because I believe that if you're cool and people think you're cool, you should never touch a piece of sporting equipment to prove yourself in another arena. just stay away. Look what 50 Cent did to his life, throwing out that bad person.
Yeah, but look what even George Bush or George W. Bush did, like, post 9/11. Like, that dude threw a strike. You know, like, I mean, for all the bad times are good times that, like.
Look at Baba Booey.
Which was classic. I mean, that had to happen.
Dude, Fauci was worse than Baba Booey, though.
Was it? I didn't see it. Was it that bad?
Dude, he practically threw it into the dugout.
He was trying to flatten the curve.
Oh my God. I mean, you watched it. I mean, was it like weird to you? I mean, did it with all the bullshit?
UFC violence. Oh, I thought you were gonna. Let's go back to UFC for a second. UFC violence is something that I had to wrap my head around. Mind you, the very first night I committed, I sat down at 6 p.m. It was the first night at Fight Island. They were having a ton of fights, and it went on until 3 a.m. Okay. One of the guys was choked out and he passed out. And of course, I dead. So I'm texting my friends at Bovada and I'm like, holy shit, is that guy dead? And they're like, no, hook it up. You know, he'll raise the hand, you know, when it's over. Like, what do you mean? They're resuscitating. They're lifting up his legs. You know, they're doing all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I had to wrap. Then the blood, man. When you get pounded in the face and blood just starts squirting out, all I say to myself is that is not just going to hurt tomorrow. That is going to hurt for a very long time. Wild. Nah,
I mean, UFC, like, when you watch that, and at one point I was working on a magazine and a concept for a magazine called MMA Edge, and it was like the emphasis kind of the UFC and Affliction. You know, Crow Cop, and I'm trying to, yeah, Affliction. That's why I had the shirts, Jay.
Affliction.
Yeah,
but I mean, the one who, oh Jesus, what,
by the way, I'm glad that
name?
That instituted a laugh in the middle of the intro. That it was worth it. It was worth
that
it.
That was great.
Yeah.
What was the one guy's name?
I could never show up with an Affliction shirt. I'd just run for the fucking border. I'd be like, oh my God, family emergency.
He was a Russian guy, and he eventually made his debut. He was like unheard of back in the day.
They're all Russian.
One guy. I mean, this guy was like so fucking crazy. But I remember, like, you know, going to interview him for, you know, a thing, and we're doing the photo shoot, and, you know, our actually photographer Exotica did the photo shoot with it. And I had Jim talking to him, and you know, he's like kind of training, and I hold the heavy bag for him, and I'm a fucking big dude. This guy fucking punches the heavy bag, and I fucking like go a couple steps back. I'm like, holy fuck.
Yes.
This is like
the power.
Fucking crazy.
The power that they hit with is like, and they're barefooted. Like, listen, when I see those guys, I couldn't tell the first night watching it whether I was just freaked out or if I was turned on. I kept saying, like, I don't know what I am right now. Am I turned on by this? But then I look at some of those guys that barely speak English or massive, like 6 feet, just going to pummel somebody. I'm like, that's the guy I think I need to marry.
So, but were you historically like with UFC, just kind of like, not my thing, whatever. And then what made the jump?
The jump was Fight Island. Okay. Watching what Dana White went through, I understood that if I started to really focus more on golf and UFC coming back first, of course, NASCAR as well, but I find it hard to watch TV and watch something go around in circles. Yeah. It's like watching the microwave,
yeah,
you know.
It's tough.
But nothing against all you NASCAR fans.
Fedor, that's the guy's name.
It was Fight Island, and the knowing that if I could watch these guys do this and they're continuously getting tested, then I would have more faith in the fact that NFL was going to come back. Right. It was really a trial of how is this working? What are they doing for protocols? How many tests are they administering? I mean, I'm going to say this, and it's honest. You know, as happy as I am to have sports back, and so many of my friends were really scared for their futures financially without sports to cover and this and that, I'm also kind of bummed that we're not just testing everybody in the United States and making tests available to areas that aren't as privileged. People are afraid
that a sports star can get a test every day, all the time, and get the results back in a minute.
Right. They're going to be using 100,000 tests, you know, a week, right?
Billy Bob in West Virginia takes 12 days. Yeah,
conflicted about that. Yeah. I mean, a friend of mine who was in Houston, where it's really bad, you know, was really sick by the time was approved to get the test, then waited another 8 days, and by then going on a ventilator. And it's like, we can't have this time lapse. When you look at what New Zealand did, what Australia did, what Italy did, you have to test everybody, and you do contact tracing that way. Like, finally, in New York State, tests are free. I can go to CVS and say I want a test, and I can get a test, you know, whenever I want. So I'm going to just start testing so I can be prepared. Sort of an immunity passport to travel with, and the borders open. But
dude,
that kind of freaks me out that we're using so much for sports. I love that we're getting under all these matters, but let's just get some testing centers set up in some areas that are less privileged and make sure that they know they have access, and that if they have the illness, they're not continuously spreading it.
But do you think there's going to be a thing with like the betting sites and stuff where somebody gets in, you know, with the NBA or, you know, even, you know, looking ahead to the NFL or, you know, baseball right now? Like, yeah, like I didn't know, like before the Yankee game last night, they just announced right before the game that Juan Soto's out, you know, for the Nats, right? Who's like, you know, a major hitter for them. I mean, do you think somebody changes that and before they change the line?
Well, the line did change a bit when that first happened. And what's going to happen is this, you're going to have to adapt the curve. So like next week, I'm going to shoot a bunch of videos, Bovada related, where I'm going to talk about my futures in the NFL, some team totals, some player totals. Patrick Mahomes expected to throw for over 5,000 yards, which makes perfect logistical sense because he threw for over 4,500 last season and he missed two games because of his knee injury. I am now kind of reversing everything and saying I think we should expect that each player could potentially miss two games, because when you're betting futures, you're in, right? It's not like
I'm taking the under on everything
just to be a little bit ahead of the curve. But once we see how baseball works out, we're going to really understand how many players get plucked. And also the NFL logistically set it up perfectly with bye weeks matching that two teams can be completely canceled and moved into a different slot. We can also go to a shorter season. So you're going to have to adjust your bets, and like, you can put your bets in last Monday. Like last night, there was a DFS challenge I put out, a free challenge, 100 players on the first two games. And man, we had to change our lineups twice because Soto was out and then Kershaw was out. So when you're in something where you can change it last minute, but if you're making bets, you're putting money down, you cannot go back and change that. You have to be aware that there's going to be a room for error this season.
Do you think that it's going to be... you know, with the NBA, I mean, because they are on an island, do you think it's going to be a little bit better there?
I do. I think that players not leaving the bubble is huge. They already are down no positive tests after testing for these past 2 weeks.
And by theory, if they don't leave, they should be good, right? I mean...
But theory, too, is the hotel workers that are living in an area that is the absolute peak of the virus right now are coming in and out of the hotel. So they are still interacting. You think about them ordering takeout or having food brought to their room. There is some interactions, but it is so closely monitored. And it is, I mean, they're wearing devices. They have sensors. If people walk up to them too close, the sensors go off. They've done it all.
Call me crazy. I live in a small town, Jersey, which we're number one right now. Rule, we're the best country right now. For
you done good, COVID. Dan.
We done
good.
We done good.
Well, too. Yeah,
New York is doing well.
Vermont. Yeah, Vermont sends its love.
We went from first to worst almost, but so I live in a small town. There's 13,000 people in my town, right? They just had graduations for everybody, so I don't know when they started doing this shit, but they had elementary school. It was like for two elementary schools on a Saturday. That Sunday in the morning, they had the eighth grade graduation. 500 people were allowed, you know, including the students. And, you know, my son's graduation, he was a senior. Later that same night at the same facility, you know, 500 people again, you know, the student
indoors?
Plus two guests. Huh?
Indoors?
Outdoors. Okay, outdoors. Everybody was wearing a mask. Everybody socially distanced. And I've been watching it actually since, you know, it's been a week now and not one new case in my town. So you had you had a couple of thousand.
Hey, guess what? Wearing a mask works. Surprise!
Yeah, you know what? For celebrities, we would like masks forever because people don't recognize us in masks. And if I can wear a mask for the rest of my life,
dude, it's not fucking hard, man. It's not rocket science.
Real quick, because I know we got to get going in a little bit here, but real quick, okay. So World Series. Who's in the World Series this year?
Man, I'd love to see the Dodgers going all the way, but the Kershaw thing starts to concern me already. If he's already holding back in a shortened season, that's going to really affect them. I think the absolute wild card situation for everyone, and I don't want to say it, could be the Astros because they're the most unexpected, and everyone is just leading so hard on those signs. But you know what's going to happen is they're going to get hit by pitches nonstop, and that's going to break down that team. I mean, so... You know, baseball, basketball, I think the Lakers and the Clippers have a really good shot. The Clippers.
No Yankees?
I'm a Mets fan, so it's hard for me to.
By the way, Ari, our two tips of the show were from this dude, Ari, and he said, go Mets.
What did Ari say?
He said, go Mets. That was his.
Oh, that's my friend, Ari.
Yeah.
Hey, Ari, yeah, so... I'm so glad you're here. He's
right,
so
well, I, But who do you think gets Cy Young, American League?
That's a tough one to predict right now. I'm not making any predictions until I see one more week's of test, because it bothers me that Juan Soto was positive. I don't know if it was they're doing the tests and the different swabs, right? I think these instant tests are not accurate. How could he have it and not have affected other teammates? We're going to have to let that sit for about 5 days. If they miss a series of games, we can't make them up.
NBA Finals, who's in it and who's a champ?
I think it could definitely be Lakers Clips. I think the wild card is definitely the Toronto Raptors. They had been bubbling together in South Florida for a month before the bubble actually happened. They had no positive tests. The Clips have never played with all of their players at all health more than 5 games before this break happened. So it could be magic out there for them, or it could be crazy. J.R. Smith. Let's talk about one thing about the Lakers.
I love J.R. Smith for when he was on the freaking Knicks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but by the way, J.R. Smith, the same guy that on June 1st, 2018, lost game one for the Cavs in because he did not watch the shot clock and fucking dribbled like a dummy, right?
But this is the same guy who tied somebody's shoelaces together or untied somebody's shoes when they were at the foul line.
Same guy. Same guy. Same guy that goes to the bubble with 7 pair of underwear and realizes on the third day that was not enough. 7 pair of underwear. You're going away for 3 months, JR.
But don't they have laundry there?
But would you just bring 20 pair? You probably wear 4 pair a day.
I came to Vermont. I brought 3 pair, so I don't know. It seems like a lot.
His mommy's making
seems like overpacking.
Washing his skivvies.
7 pair of underwear, JR Smith. But it's just so great. I've been watching all the scrimmage games. I'm loving it.
Tom Brady, bust or not this year?
I don't think he'll be a bust. I think Tom Brady is going to go down there and blow minds. I mean, the receivers that he has alone, we know about Mike Evans, but Chris Godwin is really the star of the Bucs because he can make things happen. Mike Evans is more of a big play receiver. And then you've got now 3 tight ends. Not only does Tom Brady get his security, get back in Gronkowski, which, yes, much leaner, probably won't go for more than 10 touchdowns this season, but he will get his 10. And then you still have O.J. Howard, who I believe is good, and just – Jameis Winston couldn't game plan long enough. And by the way, Jameis Winston, who got LASIK surgery after the season fucking ended, may have seen my boy O.J. Howard, who I overdrafted last season in fantasy. And then you also have Cameron Braidsell back. I just think what he has, Ronald Jones had a rough rookie year last year. I think rookies this season who didn't have a year to adapt to their team is bad. Brady is a different element coming into a new season. Been training with his players even when they weren't allowed to, but he has that football IQ. And you know, Tom Brady not only sits in on every single meeting for every single position, but he did the same thing with all these Zoom meetings that they were. He's on a need-to-know basis. He's a brilliant man. He is going to have a great season in Tampa, and I'm excited for it.
You said he's gonna blow minds down there. Who is this guy Minds, and does he know he's gonna get blown?
No, Mines. Because everyone says that Brady doesn't have it anymore, that he can't throw the deep ball. But it's like, did Brady really have a arsenal of receivers or tight ends in the last 2 seasons? You think about 3 seasons ago, Gronk was falling apart, so he couldn't even really rely on him. I think Brady's going to really go out fine.
I personally believe that Tom Brady plays with a butt plug in.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. That's very interesting.
How did my Giants do this year?
Well, listen, think about your Giants last year. There was never a time everyone was healthy at the same time. You started out the season with Golden Tate on a 4-game suspension. Then you get Sterling Shepard gets hurt. Then you get hurt. I love Darius Slayton, who I think is going to have a monster season. And Saquon Barkley got hurt. But when Saquon Barkley got hurt, he not only recovered well, but he finished the season strong. So, you know, I'm a little scared for the Giants. They still won't be better than my Dallas Cowboys. They'll be there, you know.
Well, we have Jason Garrett. That's a secret weapon.
Can we talk?
I'm so glad we gave you our secondhand trash. That's like me breaking up with a dude and telling my friend.
You gotta
like,
remember though, the Giants gave away Tom Landry years ago. So
look how that worked out.
And actually, Jason Garrett was with the Giants before he was with.
He's a good clapper. Players know that through the season. Jason will be clapping through the whole game for your players.
Worst celebrity lay you ever had.
Oh my
I'm
God!
Just trying to trick her. I figured I'd pepper that one in. Jason might answer.
Good answer, Ted.
Think of a performer who was because that would be a celebrity. Hey, and by the way, you guys
be
should
be in your next book.
You know, I don't drop names. It's just a bad look. Here's what I'm thinking about doing. I have notes that are in a safe. I'm thinking about writing a whole book that will be released when I die.
Yeah, because fuck that, right?
Right? And this way, people who have done me wrong or have been horrible in bed will try to keep me alive and safe because they won't want their stories coming out. Think about that.
You have to be able to. You have to somehow figure out how to let them know that you have this waiting when you die.
Well, aren't they all watching this show right now? I'm talking about
all of them, actually.
All right, so watching. Two favorite Lisa Ann stories to end us with. Of your years with Exotica. Let's see if either one of them, one won't really embarrass you. One might.
I can't wait for this. Yeah.
All right. So the first one that's not embarrassing, after Exotica, New Jersey, 1 year, Jay and I thought it would be great. Hey, let's see, you know, let's see about getting a luxury box over at Yankee Stadium and go with our friends from the show. There was a few people with our families and all that. You know, my kids were little. Jay's daughter was just born. She was a baby. We actually have a picture of it. I was with my ex. Lucky me. You came. My son was just happy because there was free hot dogs in the thing. You, Shawn Michaels, Mr. Marcus Teagan. Who else was there? I know Marcy Hirsch was there with us just hanging out. And Bisco. Some other
Shawn.
People. But I said Shawn. Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
So the best was, and I thought of this watching the game last night and knowing you were going to be on today. So there's a rain delay. And our host has no idea who we are or anything. They just think we're a bunch of idiots that just, you know, spent a lot of money on a box for a Yankee game. And we go in there, and it's a rain delay. And I go to Lisa, you know, our host at Yankee Stadium, and, you know, and Shawn, I was like talking to him, just said, you know, hey, they're going to bring a night. And Mickey Rivers, Yankee great, and Ron Bloomberg, who was the first DH ever in baseball history, right? So they're going to bring him to our thing. So I talk. Sean is like a huge Yankee
fan. Yeah, huge.
Like, we used to, at the Tampa show, the Night Moves show, we used to watch Yankee games all the time in the bar at the hotel. And Sean thinking, saying, like, that's so fucking cool. He, the conceited motherfucker that he is. No, I'm kidding. But he says, like, hey, I wonder if he's a fan about Mickey Rivers. Not, I'm a fan.
Of course.
So Mickey Rivers comes walking in, right? And he starts looking around. And if you ever saw the movie The Bronx is, or the series The Bronx is Burning.
Yeah.
Like, he was the biggest degenerate in Yankee history, probably, next to Babe Ruth. And Mickey Mantle.
Torch.
I mean, he was, dude, he was fucking crazy, right? And instead of him, like, so he looks around, he's there like, Shawn Michaels? What the fuck you doing here? Wait, hold, Lisa Ann? Yo, Mr. Marcus?
Yep.
And then he looks over. He's there like, Boomer, like to Ron Bloomberg. You know who this is? You know, this whole thing. The second one was, and Jay...
But wait, let's go back to that day. My favorite part of that day was I taught your daughter how to terrorize your son.
It hasn't stopped since.
And so here's, we'll tell everyone, we'll build this up. What you had said to me the other day about the age of your children, I flashed back to that Yankees game, and I'm like, wow, we've known each other a long time.
So
I taught your daughter to walk up behind your son and stymie him, because it's just annoying, like, for... Brothers hate that shit, and girls can be really quiet and tiptoe up behind, stymie him and run away, right? And I taught her that as a good friend. I wanted my friend's kids.
Aunt Lisa. All
right, so now I was on the fence about telling the second story. Jay, I wish you had the video footage loaded. So, Lisa, we gained entrance to somebody's room that Lisa was in partying with the night before.
Okay.
Down in Atlantic City.
Okay.
Oh. And Jay and I walked through it with a freaking a camera just video.
What was
the,
everywhere?
Orange juice.
There was carafes of orange juice all over the place. Chicken
so it
wings
must have
in
been
a garden.
To an ecstasy
no,
I did.
Yeah, I
chicken wings.
It was just like we walked through this thing, and it was probably. I mean, and I wish we could. It was to us. It was one of the funniest things ever.
It was like Steve Irwin walking through a hotel room that had been Lisa Ann for like at least like 8 hours. So it was impressive.
Did my work.
It was absolutely.
And what's your story? You have a good Lisa Ann story?
I already told my Lisa Ann story.
Don't you got the freaking like the Hallmark moment one.
No, that was a good one. That was my
good
poignant
one.
Lisa Ann story. No, I you know what? I think it's important to mention that, like, you know, we sit here so many years later, and Lisa, you've been such a huge part of the adult business. we talked about consistency. Consistency is key. And like, we see so many people and you see so many people that, that have come through over the years that come in for a minute that are a huge hit that, but they can't keep up what they're doing. And like, you know, the same way that you get up in the morning during quarantine and put on a pair of jeans, a lot of people don't do that, you know? And like, and so I don't.
Yo, I'm getting out of this shredded. So, this might be my prison body.
Dude,
this is what I thought I would do if I ever went to prison. I would be shredded. I'd be smarter.
But it goes,
that's all we'll think about quarantine.
It goes to show that like in, especially in the adult business, like some dedication and some consistency goes a long ways. And you know, we work with so many people, and the ones that you see at the shows that we have, when we have the biggest stars at Spotlight, it's because they're the ones that are fucking consistent. They show up, they're there, they do their thing, they understand what it is.
Jaden Cole, Monique Alexander, they don't party and get ready the day. They're there for their fans. They
or even if they do, I love being they know
by girls who are goofing around with their fans and having a good time.
Exactly. And so, and Lisa is like the epitome of that, because at the end of the day, like, you know, this girl has just crushed it. You know, you've had, you're like a cat in the adult business. You've had like 9 lives like running through this thing. And then, and so many of them now that are outside of adult, you know? And so, we're always super happy to have you. And
I will tell you, I'm very proud of the last moment that I had the last time I went to Exotica, New Jersey. Derek Hay was across from me, LA Direct Models, and everybody knows he and I don't
clearly,
get along.
Clearly, we know this, Lisa.
And I wrote about him in the book, so when I did the reread, and now all this new news has happened. Like, the fact that I have now a mugshot of Derek on his actual phone entry in my phone from when he got arrested a couple of months ago makes my heart fill with joy. But I waited for his Archie to be packing up all the girls' stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to confront Derek alone and have a real straight up conversation. And it ended with us saying we were arguing about money. We were talking about some things from the past that we hadn't hashed out. And I said to him, you know what? I'm going to visit you when you go to jail. And he's like, I'm not going to jail. And I said, Derek, hey, I promise you this. The next time I see you, you will be in jail. I haven't seen him since. And he is walking his way right there. Most importantly, I'd like to the fact that his license is getting taken away and those things. I think what we've seen with a lot of the young girls that he represents, there's a lot of stars that just are amazing, but they just get destructed really quickly. And it's a negative environment. And that's where we lose. That's where we get this perpetual circle of girls coming in and out. And he usually grabs some fucking great ones.
He does.
And only the strong survive. So that was a very proud moment of my last time I saw him at the last Exotica in New Jersey.
Good for you.
I was just being a dick.
Yeah.
That's what a pride.
Hey, listen, every once in a while, you're the winner. And it's like,
because I was working on that documentary for NBC at the time, all about Derek, and he didn't know that yet. So
I remember that whole thing. Oh my God. That was, my skin was like, you know, like itching, like just watching that, like the uncomfortableness in that whole thing. And just, look, I mean, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. We got to say that. But I mean, look, if things that they say or the things about Ron Jeremy are true, or, you know, so many other people that, you know, no matter what, you know,
the wheels of justice grind slow but true.
They do. Yeah, and with Derek, sure, and with this industry, we just need to protect the young talent coming in. And the more we can weed out people that we know are just a negative influence on them, that take away their confidence, that take away that consistency because they don't think they're their own business person. You know, the OnlyFans model is teaching girls how to do their own shit. So when they show up to a signing, they get it a lot more now. So that's what we really want. And it's our responsibility collectively to do this. Now, when you guys find a way to put me in a capsule and let me take photos through a giant sphere, like a bubble girl, I'll be the next Exotica. Now, I'm not sure.
Don't worry. We might be able to figure something out.
You're
going to
be like the Tupac hologram.
Yeah, we don't know how this is going to work out yet, but I do know that I want to be a part of it.
This stuff, you know what, we'll be back when there's a treatment or there's a cure. That's how it works. You know, I mean, it's not going to be something that, like, we're not trying to force things in.
And no, you can't, because they're not, these guys are not aggressive hand washers.
Nah,
we might be eating ramen and mac and cheese and
Dan, we made $8
today.
Yeah,
bologna sandwiches.
So, $8.
You made $8. We made $8. What, $62 now, or
$63? $63. $64 if you count the dollar that Ted did just to test the system out.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, $1,000? Why did he just give a dollar?
He didn't give a dollar.
Okay.
Well, he kind of did, but.
All right, well, yeah. My tequila is almost gone. Lisa, remind everybody where they can find you online.
You can find me at The Real Lisa Ann on Instagram and Twitter. You can check out all of my picks that I'll be putting on my timelines for Bovada. And then also my podcast, which is being produced through SiriusXM with Pandora, will drop this upcoming week. The Lisa Ann Experience is coming back. I'm really excited. And so I'll have a weekly podcast again hosted by SiriusXM and Pandora.
Woo-hoo. One more time all the way through. Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Person, woman, man.
Spaghetti, meatballs, camera, eggplant. Parmesan, mozzarella cheese, and bread.
That's what you ordered.
You know what, Lisa? I beat you at this. You know what? When we ran through this before the show, listen. I just want to say I'm going on record.
You have to get a tattoo.
Is saying you need a big tattoo in the middle of your back that says
"Here's the thing."
Person,
obviously,
woman, man.
I failed the test, so I can't be a president. Radio, so for the viewer TV. That wants camera, to be president, TV. I can't pass the test.
Did you give your money to? For us to reveal Jay's name?
No, not enough. He stayed well below. Well below the threshold.
All right. Lisa, thank you so much. We love you. We love having you on.
Love you,
we
Lise.
Miss you. And thank you so much for all your support over the years, and even with this. And good luck to you. Check out, you on SiriusXM and all your social media for the one and only Mr. Jay Handy.
That's right.
The J,
man.
Stands for.
Jerk off. Yes.
But for Jay, Lisa, stay safe.
Stay sexy, baby. Yeah.
Wear those masks. Don't be fucking idiots. We're clear?